Good morning. I'm thankful to be able to be here with you this morning. It's been a while since I've stood up here, and I appreciate the opportunity. I truly do. We kicked off the month of November, at least on our Sundays, today, first Sunday of November. And a lot of times when you get to the month of November, people like to think about things they're thankful for. Maybe they want to dedicate the whole month to maybe posting something on social media that they're thankful for every day, and I think that's a good thing. I think that we should be a very thankful people every day of our life. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, notice this, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, on the negative aspect of that, that at that time period, people that knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And Paul says, neither were they thankful. Wherefore, God gave them up. Because people decided that God was not important to them, and because people decided they were not going to be thankful, God gave them up to do all manners of uncleanness. And he goes on to talk about all those horrible things. And it stemmed from an attitude of being unthankful. Brethren, we should never be an unthankful people. We're going to talk about this again tonight. Tonight's going to be a little different than anything I've ever done. Tonight we're going to talk about thank God for America. And I'm going to do that by showing you personal pictures and videos that I've taken in India and Haiti and other places, and I want to show you the life that other people have to lead in other parts of the world, and if it doesn't make you thankful for what you have, I don't know what else to do. So I invite you to come back tonight, bring your little ones tonight, even those little kids. I've even got a video of monkeys that you can watch, and you say, looks like a monkey in the pulpit, but probably does. But I got different videos of that, and hopefully tonight we will be able to learn and grow and be more of what God would have us to be. You've heard this before, but I want to ask you again. If you woke up today, this morning you woke up, and everything that you had in your life was what you were thankful for yesterday, what would you have? That's a valid question, right? If I woke up today and only things I had was what I had previously been thankful for, what would you have? Well, that's a question we've got to ask ourselves, right? You see, I want us to think about something this morning. I appreciate Brother Kevin reading, but I want you to open your Bibles again to Colossians chapter 1, and I want to kick this lesson off this morning from that very passage. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to back up just a little bit to verse 9 and begin to read. The Apostle Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And we desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. And I want you to notice verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. All of these things that you're blessed with, give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. There's so many things that we could pull out of that short few verses that we need to be thankful for. Most definitely that Christ's blood has delivered us from the powers of sinfulness, and that blood has forgiven me of my sins, and we know that, but what I want to focus on is not only has He forgiven me, but He has translated me into the kingdom. He has put me into His church. Acts 2 verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You and I, when we obeyed the gospel, God has placed us in the kingdom. God has placed us in His church, and along with that great blessing comes tremendous benefits. Brethren, we should be thankful for the church. In fact, the title of my sermon this morning is Thank God for the Church. But what I want to do is I want to get more specific. I want to thank God for the congregation that meets here at Willow Avenue. Do you realize 2 years ago last month I placed my membership here? And I am thankful every day for that blessing. I am thankful every day that I get to be a part of a people that does so much. But what I want to do today is I want to remind you of things that you already know. But I want to put them on the forefront of your mind. And here's why. Sometimes we don't have an attitude of gratitude. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we enter into things and we have a negative mindset going in, and it affects everything in our lives. I'll tell you a story I may have told you before. Several years ago, I took a group from another congregation to CYC. And when I took that group, they'd never been before, and we were there for maybe a day or two, and I asked one of the parents, I said, "Well, what do you think?" And the response I got was, "Well, I hadn't been able to find anything wrong with it." I'm not lying. Now, that was the response that I got. What's the problem with that? They entered into this activity looking for something to be unhappy about, looking to find something wrong with everything. And brethren, sometimes that's how we are. Sometimes we come to the assemblies of the church and we are looking for something. We live in a society today that for some reason people have a chip on their shoulders. And people are always looking to be offended by anything and everything. And brethren, as Christians, we should not be that way. We should not be that way. We need to enter into things that we do in our lives looking for reasons to be thankful, looking for things that are good. And that's what I want to do today. I want to remind you of things, and I want you to look for things to be happy about. I want to start. I know the building is not the church. I understand that. No one has to bring that to my attention. But God has blessed us here at Willow Avenue with a tremendous facility for the church to meet together. Have you ever taken notice of that? Have you ever just really stopped and think, man, we have got a nice place. We are blessed with a beautiful place to worship. You see, sometimes people come in and they say, "I don't like purple pews. I don't like purple carpet. I don't like blue or gray," whatever color that is, "on the walls." And sometimes people are looking for things, and I'm not saying anybody here is doing that, but I know it happens all over the world, all over the brotherhood. Sometimes we enter into things and we're looking for something to be wrong. Brethren, I want to invite you to come into this building, and I want you to be thankful for it. And I want to show you again just some personal pictures that I've taken. This is not in this country. This is some different places that I've preached in the world. Let me ask you something. What do you think they would give to have this building? What do you think they would give? What do you think some of these people here, all they've got is, you think when it rains they get wet? Do you think when the sun's out in this old tin and the old dust and dirt and stinky, nasty stuff, you think those people would love to have this building? You better believe they'd love to have this building. What about the seats that you're sitting on? Everyone here sitting down other than me, and you're sitting on a nice, cushy, padded seat, and this room is heated and cool to your liking? Well, probably not. Probably somebody's too hot or too cold. But it's not to one extreme or the other. It's somewhere there in the middle. Brethren, we take that for granted. What if you were like this? Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how crippled you are, when you're in these places, you don't have a place to sit. So you get down and you sit on the ground, or you stand up in the back, or maybe this picture was taken in Haiti. There's me preaching, and the results was the same there as they are here. Somebody sleeping, right? But you notice they just got some old wood chairs there in Haiti, or an old wood bench. I was in Jamaica one time, and part of my job was to build pews. And we took some old rough lumber, and we built some some makeshift pews, and the people were tickled to death to have something to sit upon other than the ground. Brethren, we take things for granted, don't we? We come in and our attitude is, well, they've always been there, they're always going to be there. And brethren, that's the wrong attitude as a Christian. We should be thankful for these tremendous blessings. There's been a running joke. I'll pick on Richard a little bit. We had a little roof damage and a little damage to our building, and people's giving him a hard time. But I took this picture in India, and I visited a congregation, and this was their building. And they'd had a little roof damage, hadn't they? And it'd been that way a pretty good while. And you know what they did? There's their building you can see on the side. They set up a tent beside the church building with no roof, and they just continued right on. And they asked me if you could raise money to help fix our roof. We'd be glad, we'd be happy, we'd be thankful for that. And we did. But they didn't stop, they didn't get angry, they didn't get upset, they weren't unthankful. They just continued right on with being a Christian and worshiping God because they have an attitude of gratitude. Brethren, and we could learn so much from these people. We had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper just a few moments ago, and what a tremendous, tremendous blessing and something I can be thankful for. There were three generations of men on this side, right? Man, that is a blessing. Well, let me ask you something. There's a lot of things you take for granted about the Lord's Supper, and you say, no, we don't. I took this picture. I was sitting there on the stage that Sunday morning, and we'd already worshipped and partaken the Lord's Supper in English by ourselves, but I was watching. And they had a few metal cups there on a tray, and they passed those out. And when they were all empty, there were still several people. So they come back to the front, somebody started pouring juice back in the same cups, and they went past them right back out again. You ever been thankful that you got your own cup? You ever thought about that? You see, a lot of people don't have that blessing. A lot of people, they don't have that. And there's places in these other parts of the world, maybe they've got one cup. Not because they believe that they should have one cup, but because literally they only have one cup. And so they share that. And it's a race to see who can get there first, right? Sit on the front pew. Jack did that one time, and they started in the back. He told me, he said, I took it, and I was the last one in the building. But you see, we take it for granted. But when we think about the Lord's Supper, do we take what it means for granted? The greatest thing that has ever been done for mankind was to be remembered just a few minutes ago. Were you thankful during that time? Again, pictures that I've taken during the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And you see people on their knees, and you see people shedding tears. You see people praying and people emotional, and you know that they appreciate the fact that Jesus gave His life for them. They appreciate that fact, and they don't take it for granted. Their attitude is much different than mine is from time to time. Brethren, what about giving? You had the opportunity to give just a few moments ago, and the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, someone that is thankful to have the ability to give. And we'll talk about this more tonight, but we have a tremendous blessing in this country that we can work and we can make a living. And right now, things are great. You can make a great living right now if you'll work. And you can give back to God, but in other places, that's not the case. And this is two different places where this is a big part of the contribution. You've got some containers that people will take turns pouring in rice, or people will come up and lay an egg or two on the stage, and that's all they have to give, and they're thankful to be able to give that. Brethren, we should be thankful that we have the ability, that we have the abundance to be able to give back to the Lord. Man, we have been blessed here. And we need to go in and develop that attitude, not come in, well, I've got to give part of what I made this week. The only reason you made anything is because God blessed you with the ability to do it. God blessed you with a job. God blessed you with all of those things. So we've got to change our attitude. We've got to develop a different attitude. The Bible says, Hebrews 13, verse 15, we've got to offer a sacrifice of praise unto God, giving thanks unto His name. When we sing, are we singing because we are thankful for everything that He did? When we pray with the brethren, are we praying because we are thankful? And I appreciate the the one that did the Lord's Supper this morning, headed the table, and the one that led the opening prayer this morning. And they were both very thankful in their prayers. And brethren, you and I need to share the same. We need to be thankful. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just take it for granted. And we just go right on. What about if someone walks down the aisle this morning and they want to obey the gospel and we've got water and, yeah, it's clean. And it's warm. But you know, not everybody has that. The picture on the left is a drainage ditch. A drainage ditch that had enough water to baptize someone and took this picture. This picture's in India. There's the oxen, the yoke of oxen in the same water that they're giving them a bath and they're baptizing people in that same water. You don't have to do that here. You don't have to do that. You can come up and the water's going to be the right temperature and you're going to have a nice dry towel just as soon as you come up and the water's going to be clean. And everything that has to do with us here, we live in the lap of luxury. We have so much and other people have so little. We've got a team of men out in the foyer right now keeping us safe. You realize how much of a blessing that is? That we've got people that will volunteer to do that. We live in a world that's gone crazy. And there's people that want to do harm to other people for no reason. And we have people here that will do things like that. And sometimes we overlook it. But brethren, we need to be thankful for it. We need to be thankful. We have elders here. We have elders here that love you. I can assure you that our six elders love every person in this assembly. I can assure you that our elders are concerned with every person in this assembly. I have a text thread with Chase and Don and Mike and I and all the elders, and every day they're sharing things about someone that's sick or hurt or needs prayers or whatever it may be. They have a great concern for you. Our elders they're there and they're willing to talk to you. During Bible class, two of them are going to go back to the library and they're going to be there if you want to talk to them. You realize a lot of places that wouldn't happen? That wouldn't happen. Because the concern is not there for the people. And they don't want to put that out there for people to come and bring whatever it is before them because they don't want to deal with that. But we've got men that want to do that for you. We've got men that love you. We've got men that they want to feed you. They want to make sure that this church has the necessary things that she needs in order to teach God's word and all of these classes have all the supplies that they need. And they want to make sure that there's someone in the pulpit that's going to teach the truth of God's word. And do you realize, brethren, and I think we don't, that it's not like that everywhere. It's not like that. A lot of times people are not greatly concerned with things such as that. And they're more concerned with making everybody just feel good all the time. And that's what they want. They don't want any controversy whatsoever. And brethren, that is a sad commentary. I want to share something with you. A friend of mine put on Facebook last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, Brad Harum. And I want to read it to you. And it's sad. It's sad. I've got it up here, but I printed it for me because I was afraid I can't see that in the back. So it says, tomorrow, this was last Saturday. He says, tomorrow, thousands of people will gather together in a church building. They will sing familiar hymns. They will offer up prayers. They will take the Lord's Supper. They will listen to a sermon that makes them feel good. They will go home feeling like they have done Christianity. And then they will continue living their lives the same way they've always done. They will not feel any conviction to change because the sermon and the Bible class they sat through didn't produce any godly sorrow. They will not wake up Monday striving to pursue holiness because it's been months since they had any admonition to be holy as He is holy. They will not work to shun worldliness in their homes that week because the silent message they continue to receive from their church is that you can be worldly and religious at the same time. They will not comprehend the real concept of church family because they will once again not have Christians into their home. Instead, they will buy into the lie that fellowship is what happens in the foyer or through programs. It says they will not work hard to get God's precepts into the hearts of their children because they bought into the lie that Bible class is enough. They will not deepen their relationship with God because they believe that only happens on Sundays and Wednesdays. By Tuesday, the uplifting feeling they had from hearing a feel-good sermon will have worn off, and the normal doubts, struggles, and stresses of life will begin to take over their mind. They will not be prepared for the trials they will face because they're still babes in Christ. They're satisfied with milk rather than meat. They will not be prepared to flee temptation because they live in a religious world that refuses to admit that there's a war going on. They will not treat their spouse as the Bible instructs because they are still living in the flesh rather than by the Spirit. They will not prepare their children for battle or to become elders because that vision has never been placed before their eyes. They will not seek ways to serve or to look for mission opportunities because they've been silently told that sitting in the pew is enough. He says, and sadly, next week, they will do the same thing. He says, isn't it time to break the cycle? Brethren, do you think that's true? He said, no, that's not true. That's being negative and judgmental and harsh. And brethren, that is true. If you don't believe it, get out of the pew and travel. And you will see that there's a lot of places in our world they don't want to focus on anything that is hard or difficult, and all they want to do is make everybody feel all warm and rosy, and it's sad. It's sad. I had a couple one time where I was preaching, and they told me, they said, we don't want to come here anymore. I said, your lesson made me feel bad. Well, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to make you feel bad, and I was preaching on Islam. And that was my lesson. And I was talking about how I had the Quran, and we talked about, man, they want to kill Christians. And if that makes you feel bad, then you can't live in this world, because that's true. And it's so sad that people are like that. That people sometimes in other places, they're not real concerned about their children. And here so much emphasis is put upon that. And I had a lady at church tell me one time, said, oh, my son, he likes getting up and reading in front of the audience. What am I going to do? What are you going to do? I said, you should be ecstatic that he likes to do that. But the point was, what am I going to do? I don't want him to be like that. I don't want, they might turn into a preacher. Who would want that? That's the attitude a lot of people have. Brethren, our elders here, they want to make sure that that's not what happens here. They want to make sure that you're fed. They want to make sure that the pulpit here brings forth truth. Truth that sometimes hurts. Sometimes that's difficult to hear. But you realize in the Bible, Paul said in Acts 20, verse 27, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Brethren, we need to be thankful that our elders have people in the pulpit that are telling us the truth, that are sticking by the Word of God, and it's not always easy. I have conversations with other preachers here. It's not easy to stand up sometimes and preach the hard things. But I can assure you, every one of them wants you to go to heaven more than anything else. And that is their ultimate goal. And preaching against sin sometimes is what needs to happen. There needs to be a balance, I understand that, between the good things and the hard things. Sometimes the hard things are needed, because sometimes people have told me in the back, you stepped all over my toes today, and I'm thinking, am I fixing to get hit? No. But they'll say, thank you. I needed it. Thank you. Brethren, we need to go in with that attitude, looking that someone is trying to help us to do good. And brethren, we have a youth ministry here that is just dynamic and great and wonderful, and there's so much good that goes on for these young people. And they have fun together, but more than anything else, they are being developed into being spiritually minded individuals, and they're taught things that are true and right. And brethren, we need to be thankful for that. That is a tremendous blessing. We need to offer more help in that area because of the tremendous blessing that it is. We've got 15 men here that are deacons, that have jobs that sometimes we don't even know what they are. I was going to put their pictures up here, but some of them look so bad I couldn't do it. I decided I'm not going to mention anyone's name during this lesson, but I put a list of their jobs. Sometimes get your directory out and look at what these guys do. And look at the jobs that they're over and be thankful for it. Brethren, there's a tremendous load in all of these guys' lives. Things that they have to do that sometimes we don't think about. Things get done here and sometimes we don't even know how. We never think about how. But brethren, we need to. We need to focus on those things and be thankful for those things. We have a church staff here that is here every day and does so much that goes unnoticed. And brethren, we need to be thankful for that. Brethren, we've got people that work behind the scenes. We've got people that every time, and I've noticed this, it's great. Every time somebody has a surgery or has a baby or someone dies in their family, man, there's a list going around. You're going to fix food for them for a long time, for a long time. There's people that get things ready for classes and people that just do so much here. They visit people. They call people. We've got a care group program. We've got all of these things. They take other people to the doctor, whatever it may be. We have so much going on here. And if you can't find something to be thankful for in all of that, then maybe you're the problem. Maybe you're the problem. This church is very active. This church I have found to be very friendly, very warm and caring and loving. And brethren, we need to be thankful for that, because that's not the case everywhere. There's so many places that week after week you could go in and nobody cares if you're there or not. Nobody cares. That's not the case here. Oh, there'll be somebody that slips in and slips out and we don't know it, but that's always going to happen. But it's not because we don't want to know it. I can assure you of that. It's not because people here don't want to be friendly. Brethren, we have a great congregation of the Lord's people here. And we need to be thankful. Someone told me just the other day, 9 out of 10 people that are unhappy, it's because they want to be. They're not active. They're not doing anything. They're not looking for reasons to be better. And I found this. Stop looking for reasons to be unhappy. When you come here, stop looking for something to be offended by. Stop looking for something that somebody says or does or wears or whatever it may be. Stop looking for that one thing that you can complain about on the way home and focus on all the wonderful, beautiful things that are right here. I'm going to tell you something. You can travel far and wide. You can travel anywhere you want to go trying to find the perfect place that everything about it suits your liking, but you're going to fail. You're going to fail because there is no such thing as a perfect church. No such thing. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find anything where everybody does everything right all the time and you leave just feeling just wonderful. It's not there. We're frail. We're humans. We're going to make mistakes. But if we would change our attitudes going in, things would be so much better. So much better. There's so much here to be happy about. Oh, we have to deal with the negative from time to time. I get that. I understand that. But I'm saying don't spend all your time focusing on that. Focus on some positives. Brethren, just like the song says, if we'll count our blessings, it'll surprise us. It'll surprise us how much is around us if we just stop focusing on the negative all the time. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift come from the Father above, with whom there is no variation, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't stop giving. And God has blessed us abundantly this morning. This morning, I hope the lesson has motivated all of us, including myself, to change our way of thinking, to focus on being more grateful in every aspect of our life. This morning, I hope that's what happened. That was my whole goal in preaching this. In this month of November is to get us to be grateful people. And remember, come back tonight and bring all your children. And we need to focus on being grateful for the blessings we have monetarily and physically as well. Today, you're not a New Testament Christian, and maybe today you decide you want to be one, you can be thankful today that God has a plan in place. You can hear His gospel. You can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can be willing to repent of your sins. You can be willing to confess His name. And you can reenact the death, burial, and resurrection this morning in the waters of baptism. And you can be added to the church that we talked so much about this morning. You can be a part of that tremendous blessing this morning if you're willing to do that. This morning, most of you have. I want you to think about your life. I want every person in this assembly to think about your life. And I want you to think about what the Bible said again in Romans 1, verse 21. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. I hope that does not describe one person within the sound of my voice this morning. I hope it doesn't. I hope you are a person this morning that has an attitude of gratitude and you're looking for good and positive things. Brethren, if not, if you've been negative Nelly, if you will, and you're just coming in always trying to find something to gripe and complain about, there's a scripture for that too, Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining, grumbling. No, don't do that. You can change that this morning. You can be the person God wants you to be. You can change your attitude today. God will forgive you. God will help you. And I can assure you this church will surround you. And this church will love you. So that's what this church does. Whatever you may need this morning, we beg you to come as together we stand and as we sing.